Last Sunday, we had remembrance celebrations or remembrance time here, and we had the scouts and guides, and the list goes on, all the beavers and all the little ones, the groups that were on, and it got me thinking about this. Three scouts tell their scoutmaster about their good deeds. We helped an old lady across the street, one of them said. It took all three of you to do that? Asked the scoutmaster. Yes, sir, she didn't want to go. Never get tired of doing good. Never get tired of doing God. People of God never get tired of doing good. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, open our minds and our spirits this morning to hear your voice, your very voice as you speak to us personally and here as a congregation. Help us to really, truly put away the distractions of this morning and to eagerly anticipate what you have for us this day. We pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. I want to read this a few times here in different versions of translation. Verse 1, of course, the NRSV that we have in our pews. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. The King James Version, but ye, brethren, be not weary in doing well. The NIV, the New International Version, and as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. The Good News Translation. But you, friends, must not become tired of doing good. And finally, the Message. Friends, don't slack off in doing your duty. Very different ways of perceiving that same particular statement that's being made. Aside from the Message, we're hearing very clearly, in my mind at least, and this is something I think that's very fundamental, a difference of being good and doing good. And it's also, I think, a fundamental misconception by many people, especially those who are no longer coming to church, in what it really means to be a Christian. Many people that I've encountered who have had a past church experience, past church life, people who went to church years ago but no longer come to church, this is one of the hooks that gets them stuck if we get in a serious conversation with them and spend some time. The difference between being good and doing good. Many people leave the church because they can't understand this very core concept that we are called to do good, not to be good. And the difference I'm going to clarify, I hope, this morning, because doing good is something that we can actively participate in and do something about. Being good is only because of Christ in our life. The only one that is good is Jesus Christ. He's what makes us be able to stand before God in perfectness, in that sense, in purity. It has nothing to do with what we do. It has everything to do with Him. Mark 10, verse 18 says this, and Jesus is being asked a question. And Jesus' response to that is, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says this, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. The point there being, it's Jesus that does all of these things. It's Jesus that is good, not what I do that's good, particularly I'm trying to explain something. A cart and a horse, maybe. What is it being good? Why are we commanded in Thessalonians to, in all those different translations that I read to you, become tired of doing good? The instruction there is never tire of being good. The instruction is never tire of doing good. The point I'm trying to make is that we cannot be good in and of ourselves. It is Christ that makes us good. And I want to talk about that word in a minute. But we should never tire of doing good things. Why should we never tire of doing those good things? Because those good things come out of a relationship that we have with God. The cart and the horse here is, we do good things because God has first loved us. That God has made us, through Christ, whole. And our response to that is acts of kindness, acts of goodness, not the other way around. We don't earn our way to heaven because we do good things. And that's the misconception that we often see. And when I've talked here before about what that cultural kind of view is of heaven, that it just gets under my skin and always has. You know, we all got to earn our wings, we all have a harp, we all sit on a cloud, and for eternity, pluck away. I'm already tired of that. I haven't even got there. I don't want to earn my way to that. This is why a lot of my friends in my past who are not Christian people say, well, I don't want that. I'm going to go to hell. There's a party going on down there. Let's go. Because it's a misconception. It's a misconception of what it is to be in the presence of God and what it is to be responding to the eternal love that God has for us. I got a card this morning from Pat Patterson's daughter. And I was so much touched by this little note that she gave me. She said, I miss her, my mom, Pat, so much every day and look forward to the time we can all celebrate together with our Heavenly Father in eternity. Mom's strength, courage, and conviction to what is right will carry on through us. Pat Patterson believed in what was right and doing the right thing because she had a relationship with a God who loved her. Right to her very last breath, she knew that. What an encouragement that is for us to do the right thing always. To want to be doing good because God loves us and loved us first. What does it mean to be good? That's a hard one too, isn't it? Because good acts, good things, can be very relative. Because a good thing here may not be a good thing there. What does it mean to be doing good? Paul struggles with this, and if you really want to get into it in an in-depth way, read the book of Romans. And in particular, I want to read from you from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh will set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Paul's struggling with this concept of doing good, being good, what it is, the word good. He also talks about the things that I want to do, the good things, I tend not to do. And the things that I don't want to do, I tend to do. He's struggling with this through the entire book of Romans and trying to explain his personal struggle with this idea and conveying it not only to the church in Rome, but to us today through these words in the Holy Scripture. What is it to do good? What is it to be good? John 13, Jesus says this, new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Now that is huge. That goodness that we're expressing in our lives is exactly what it says in John 13. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Very simple statement. Jesus didn't just die. He does say that greater love has no man that they give up their lives for one another. And this weekend has been a weekend of Remembrance Day stuff, and particularly from the First World War, a lot of discussion on television and certainly in print about lots of people who died. Yesterday I watched a documentary, and one of the monuments in France in the First World War, 54,000 men are named on this particular monument. I'll say that number again. 54,000 men from the British Armed Services, only the British Armed Services, not the French, not any of the colonies, just Britain, are missing in the First World War. There's no graves for them. They don't know where they are. They vanished. They died. And Jesus says, no greater love has someone else than they do that very act. But Jesus didn't stop there. And that's what makes the difference. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. Jesus conquered death. He didn't just die. And that's a huge thing in and of itself. When we think about it in the context of Remembrance Day, that all of these men and women, men mostly in this case, died in the cause of freedom. But Jesus didn't just die in the cause of freedom. He conquered death and he rose again so that all of us may participate in that. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. The depths that that goes to are incalculable. That's why we do good. That's why we strive to never tire of doing good, because we are commanded by Christ that we should love one another just as he loved us. John 15, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Never tire of doing, as the message says, never tire of doing your duty. It's just simply a response, it's simply a response of that love that God has given us. That's why we do good. Now, we're not always good, as Paul talks about in Romans. We struggle with the things that we don't want to do. That's part of being a human. But in Christ, he helps us. The difference between doing good and being good. And I know I've spoken before. I remember being downtown Toronto waiting for subway while I was at school one time, and there was a poster from the Humanist League, I think is what it was. And they were basically on this poster saying how much they were going to love people because, you know, we're tired of that whole thing of being good enough. And I thought, wow, why? That really expresses an awful lot in that statement. Being good enough, that's the tripping point for lots of people. I'm not good enough. We don't need to be good enough in of ourselves. Christ makes us more than good enough. And as a response to that, that's why we do good. It's a cart and a horse. We do good because of Christ in us, the relationship that we have with him. We are good because of Christ in us and Christ alone. We do good because it is an outcome of that relationship, not an expectation of a reward. I was thinking about that statement in these scriptures, and I came across an old Aesop's fable. I like Aesop in so many ways. There's a story about a stork and a wolf, one of the lesser known Aesop fable. And the wolf has something, a bone stuck in his throat, and opens his mouth and asks the stork to reach inside and please take the bone out. And the stork sticks his head right inside the wolf's mouth and pulls the bone out and then says, what's my reward? I did a good thing. Was I good enough? And the wolf says, you've got your reward. You stuck your head in the mouth of a wolf and didn't get bitten. We should be doing good not because we expect a reward, but because Christ truly is our inspiration for these things. The fundamental misunderstanding, there's an expectation of reward to be good enough. Paul tells us in Romans clearly that we struggle with sin in our lives. The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I don't. And that is a human condition. But we are not part of that human condition, as we've read clearly in scriptures. We are part of Christ. And it's Christ that makes us do good things. Never tire of doing good. Never get tired of doing good. People of God, never get tired of doing good. Ada Whittington wrote in 1891, Not I but Christ, the hymn. And the first verse is this, Not I but Christ be honored, loved, exalted. Not I but Christ be seen, be known, be heard. Not I but Christ in every look and action. Not I but Christ in every thought and word. We're going to hear a lot about that tonight at this hymn sing, this time where we can hear the background to these many, many hymns, the truth that God has for us, that inspires us that Christ can be seen in all that I do. Never get tired of doing good. fellow finds himself in front of the pearly gates, and St. Peter explains that it's not easy to get into heaven. There's some criteria before it is allowed. For example, was the man religious in life? Did he attend church? No. St. Peter told him, well, that's kind of bad. Was he generous? Did he give money to the poor and charities? No. St. Peter told him that was just too bad. Did he have any good deeds? Help his neighbor? Anything? No. St. Peter is becoming very concerned. And exasperated, Peter says, look, everybody does something sometimes nice. Work with me. I'm trying to help. Now think. The man says, well, there was this old lady. I came out of a store and found her surrounded by a dozen of these huge biker guys. They had taken her purse and were shoving her around and taunting her and abusing her. I got so mad, I threw my bags down and fought through the crowd and got her purse back. Then I helped her to her feet. And I went up to the biggest, baddest biker and I told him how despicable and cowardly and mean he was. And then I spat in his face. Wow, says Peter, that's pretty impressive. When did this happen? About 10 minutes ago. We have to be inspired to be doing good things in Christ and never, ever get tired of doing the good thing in our life that Christ inspires us to do. Love one another as I have loved you. Amen. In a world filled with blessings, we celebrate our privilege and responsibility to share those blessings. Let us come before God and celebrate those overwhelming blessings by continuing our worship. And it is truly part of our worship, our offering of our tithes and our gifts. Amen.